Holiday season, bowl season, and basketball season all in one place. 105.5 and 97.5.
Merry Christmas.
We are The Roar.
Final hour of the show. Glad to have you with us here on just a beautiful Tuesday in the Upstate. We've talked a lot of Clemson and a lot of Notre Dame in the first 2 hours. We're going to talk Clemson BYU with Terrence Oglesby coming up in just a second. First, let me tell you about our very good friends at One Tom Plumber. Call the plumber whose name is his number. That's One Tom Plumber. There is absolutely no way that anybody is giving you a guarantee better than what they're doing. The folks at One Tom Plumber give you 24-hour same-day service guaranteed. Just remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. And they have the plumbers to do it. By the way, they hire. They're hiring all the time plumbers to make sure that they can continue to keep that promise for you. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing what One Tom Plumber does. They've got very highly trained, highly skilled plumbers who are going to get to the bottom of your issue, the hot water issues, the leaks, the clogs, all of that stuff. It is, especially this time of year, it can really wreak havoc. If you got family in town or you know, it's a busy day at work, the store, whatever. If you've got plumbing issues that are grinding everything to a screeching halt and you need somebody to step in the gap for you, that's One Tom Plumber. Clemson grads owned and operated. Call the plumber whose name is his number. That's One Tom Plumber. All right, let's go to our very good friend Terrence Oglesby. You will find him on ESPN. You will find him on the Field of 68, the Shooter Shoot podcast, the greatest shooters ever to podcast the show. Apologies to J.J. Redick. He got nothing on Terrence Oglesby and Randolph Childress. And you can find him on Twitter, too, where he's just a bundle of joy. T.O., what's up, buddy?
I think bundle of joy is relative to which team you're a fan of. Hey, but if you're going to put two shooters in a room in a podcast, I mean, J.J. Redick probably has both me and Randolph beat, but the two of us together, I'm not sure how many are rivaling that.
You know, I would agree with that. I mean, I was listening to you guys' show from, I guess it was yesterday, I was listening this morning, and I thought to myself, if these two guys had a shooting competition, it would never end. It would just go on forever. One of you guys would just have to eat a meal. Like, we'd have to feed you during.
Until the arthritis gets one of us too.
Oh, man. You know what? I want to start big picture with you before we get to BYU Clemson, because this time a year ago, we were having a dire conversation about the ACC because they lost a million games to the SEC, and Clemson was like the only thing buoying the whole league when they beat Kentucky. And it's different now. Is this a product of the SEC being a little down, the ACC being a little better, some intricacies in the matchups, or a combination of all of that?
I think a combination of the SEC not being quite as strong and the ACC really improving. I think if you look at a few of the teams, North Carolina's bigger. They fit Hubert better. I think he's actually done a nice job, and I've been pretty critical of Hubert over the last few years. I think this roster fits him. They're moving to basketball. They're playing a lot better. And they have a guy that's a top seven, top eight pick in Caleb Wilson. Those things certainly help. You look at Virginia, what they're doing so far. They're the most improved team in the league. NC State is going to be – it's going to be an interesting watch with them. Are they going to continue to kind of go on this slide? They're not a great defensive team, but I say all that to say this, all of them are improved. So you look top to bottom at the league, even Florida State's a tough out and they have four losses. I think the fact of the matter is it's twofold. The SEC isn't as good. The ACC is better. And I also think the ACC has started to understand net ratings, scheduling. Whenever you play a team that's in the 300s, you have to beat them by 80. And that's why we're seeing a lot of that this year. And to be honest with you, it's making it difficult for me to call games because some of these games are blowouts. Well, they have to be. It's like the old BCS when Miami was beating teams 77-3. Well, you have to do that in order to acquire these points for the net or whatever. So it's like one of these things where it makes it difficult, but you have to just keep on with that.
Great stuff there. I'm very encouraged by where the league is because of the teams that you said that have sort of helped buoy it. And now I think it is, as a Clemson alum, you can speak to this. that Clemson is on a stage tonight with BYU, who's got potentially number one pick in the draft, Florida, and UConn, who are habitual Final Four participants and national champions. That is such an affirmation of where Clemson basketball is, and maybe even where, like, the broader ACC is, that it's not Duke or North Carolina, Virginia, or one of the, like, bigger, massive brands, but it is Clemson who gets onto this stage. What are your thoughts on that?
It says a lot about the program, and it says a lot about the fan base that stuck with Brad Brownell when things weren't going all that peachy. I'm going to say it that way, just because there's a lot of people that were irritated. Well, Brad's just stuck to it. He continues to put together good rosters. This team is much better than I thought they'd be. I'm going to be honest. I thought the front court was going to be really good. I was in wait-and-see mode with the back court. Justin Porter's had good games. Some of these different guys have played well. Zach Foster has been tremendous in spots. Like, this is a really good basketball team. It's a tournament team. It's not a bubble team. It's a tournament team, and they have an opportunity tonight against the BYU squad that Kevin Young was an assistant coach for the Phoenix Suns. He goes to Brigham Young. He's been really good early in his head coaching career. And you said they have the number one pick in the draft in A.J. DeBanza. Well, Richie Saunders might be the Big 12 player of the year, and he's not the number one pick in the draft. So you look at this team, they have their hands full. But the funny part is everybody I've talked to, whether it's a national media member, whether it's a Clemson media, like, people feel pretty good about Clemson's chances to stay in this game and make it down in the last 4 minutes of this contest because they're so well coached. Defensively, they're so well scouted. And if there's a guy that's going to have a hard time playing against Brad Brownell, it's a guy that is a number one pick. Look at Paolo Banchero. Did he have his way? Yeah, but sometimes he struggled against it. Cooper Flagg, same deal. Clemson's played against these number one picks before, so there's experience there. And schematically, there's not many better than Coach Brownell.
Well, and this is one thing that I'll tell you, because Alabama really just blitzed Clemson. But right. Clemson, after the first 10 minutes in the final 30, was quite good and made things really really tense for Alabama. Now, the other side of that is that Alabama made threes. And this is a BYU team that can shoot it. Like, it's a very efficient offensive team. In your mind, if Clemson wants to make BYU, drag BYU down to the style of game, what does that look like tonight from an execution standpoint?
Well, Kevin Young, he's an NBA guy, so they're going to push the ball up the sideline and let their playmakers go. There's going to be some set play calls, sure, but there's not going to be that many. A lot of it's within the flow motion of the offense, some of those things to where you're not necessarily coming up and holding a play up in one hand and the point guard dribbling it in the other. That's not necessarily what's going to happen tonight. What is going to happen is Clemson's going to have to get back on defense, load to the ball, and then they're going to have to be positionally really good because guarding A.J. DeBanza one-on-one's tough. Guarding him with another four guys behind the primary defender, you can do that. And if you, as long as you stay on your feet and you don't jump, you have a solid chance at making life difficult for A.J. DeBanza because he lives at the foul line. So what does it look like if you're a Clemson Tigers fan? You hope they slow the pace as far as making sure this game is played in the half court. Make BYU think. That's the biggest thing, because a lot of what Kevin Young likes to do for the Cougars is get his players out in space and let them make plays. If you get them thinking the game, have them slow it down a little bit, I think you can have some more success. But make no mistake, this BYU team, they're a top 10 squad. They could be a Final Four team too. So two really good teams. I think it's going to be a really intriguing matchup. The key to the game is going to be, though, your backcourt has to hit shots. If that happens today, you can space it out just enough. I feel like the front court's really good for Clemson. The backcourt has to be able to space it out.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing that stuck out to me. We're visiting with Terrence Oglesby here on the program. One thing that stuck out to me with Alabama is that you can tag all day and you can try to slow an up-tempo team all day, but if you're missing shots, there's still going to be an element of transition to how they play. And so it seems really easy to say if Clemson makes shots, they're going to win. But it makes it easier to impose the pace when you're making shots, and you can't really impose a pace very easily on a team that really wants to run if you're missing shots. Does that make sense? Are you in agreement with me on that?
It 1,000% makes sense, and let me put it to where Clemson fans can understand. We have this phrase all the time, complementary football.
Mm-hmm.
You have to play complementary basketball. Your offense has to match your defense and vice versa. If you're making shots, that means you can set your defense. If you're getting stops and you're out in transition and you're still able to find good looks, at least they're good looks, you can get back and set your defense. So it kind of along the same lines there, you have to play complementary basketball here, and you can't have live ball turnovers, that's one. Two, you can't have shots that are quick, and they're basically function as a turnover to where a guy gets a rebound and can take off sprinting. So a lot of what you do on the defensive end has to match your offensive end.
The Bantz, you talked about he wants to drive it. He really doesn't want to shoot it. He's got a neat mid-range game and really good at getting to the rim. And as you said, he shoots like 6 free throws a game or something like that. And is there a matchup that could present problems for him? Because I'm looking at Clemson, I'm like, Jake Wallin? I mean, I'm trying to figure out who is going to be head up on him, or is it more? Is it going to take multiple guys?
I think you throw different looks at him. A couple times you put Wallin on him, and a lot of times too when you go Wallin at the 3 and Nick Davidson at the 4, RJ at the 5. Like RJ needs to be matched up with their 5 guy. Their 5 guy's pretty good.
Yes.
But Nick Davidson and Wallin and Zach Foster when he's in the game, like. If you get up there, and as long as you communicate and you know you have help, you can get up and defend. And it's kind of hard to explain this, but Brad always does a good job of getting the defenders just far enough away to make you uncomfortable, but not backing off. You're going to have a good balance, and you're going to have to try to control where he goes, because if he gets you rocking back and forth, you're a dead man. There's nothing you can do.
I was going to ask you about Keita, the 5-man, and they put the young freshman in there too, the lanky 6'9". That he's a problem. Like if you pay too much attention, there's lobs there. There's offensive rebounds available. He's got some skill around the rim. Like that's an X factor in the game, right? If the bigs have to help too much.
Kate is a thoroughbred. I think that's forget thoroughbred. He might be a Clydesdale, but he's an athletic Clydesdale. He can get up and down the floor really well. I mean, he measures 6'8". He plays bigger than that. He's just so strong. And, you know, he's not like Trevor Booker in that he's this super explosive guy no matter what, short area quickness. No, but he's going to board, he's going to be a lob threat, and vertically he's pretty good. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup. You know, they say that big and physical wins in the NCAA tournament, BYU has all those elements, and they have a really good point guard in Robert Wright. Clemson's got their hands full. Clemson can still win this game.
I love it. What do you expect this game to be, like 70s, 80s, or more like a 50s, 60s type of game?
If Clemson's going to win this game, it needs to be underneath 78 points. If it goes over 78 points, I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't know what the over-under is. That's a Quackenbush stat right there. What is the over-under?
Let me check. It was in the low 150s this morning. Let me give you up to the minute. Up to the minute, we're at 151.5.
Yeah, so 75, 76 points. If it hits the under, Clemson wins.
Okay. I love that.
There you go.
Unequivocal. Let me ask you about Kentucky. I think it is fascinating that Kentucky, there is a total bailout on Kentucky a month into the – we have 3 months left in the season, and Kentucky has been absolutely left for dead. Are we right to do it? Is it fixable? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you're right to do it. You run around gloating that you spent $22 million on a roster and they don't play hard. There's a disconnect somewhere. And that's somebody's money that's being spent. So if nothing else, if you're getting paid to do a job, you need to do your job. So first and foremost, there was a time, Quark, where, you know, especially, you know, I started this whole gambit, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. There was a time where I wouldn't get too critical of players because it's room and board. That when the guy is getting paid $3.5 million to be the SEC preseason player of the year and Otega Owe, and you're going to go out there and not give effort and not lead from the front, like I'm going to criticize your effort. It's changed the game, and I don't care what people say when it comes to that. Are they young people? Yes, but NBA rookies are 19 years old. Otega Owe is 3-4 years older than that. Like you've got to be able to, if you're going to take the money, you've got to take the criticism too, as well as the praise. And I actually look at what Mark Pope has done here lately. I think he's shouldering too much of the blame.
Yeah.
At some point, like, it's great that you're accountable. That's fantastic. You're a player. You understand that you want the coach to take the blame, and you kind of shield your guys from everything else. However, you got guys that show bad attitude. It's time to put them out on Front Street. That's one. Two, you know, you talk about Mark Pope and what all he's been able to do as a head coach, and it's almost like he's gotten too smart for his own good in a lot of elements. And what I mean by that is, you know, we talk about eccentric loads and workloads and rebounding rates and all this stuff. I feel like I need 3 degrees to even talk about it or listen to him. How about you just call out your switches, play off 2 feet, and then help when a guy's getting driven by? Kentucky does none of those three simple things that you would consider elementary. Do those things before you start talking about everything. I feel like we've overcomplicated it. And John Calipari, you know, for all intents and purposes, had a lot of flaws. He kept it simple, though. And when he kept it simple, they were under easy to guard from a team schematic standpoint, but at least those guys played hard. Now it's like they've overanalyzed. It's paralysis by analysis at this point. Get back to doing the simple things, and then your guys can find some confidence on what they're doing. It's been a lot to take away from Kentucky. Kentucky fans are what they are. They're going to be critical no matter what. They're going to be critical in 20-point wins. But at the same time, they're understanding if your guys play hard. They're not playing hard, and they're not doing the simple things. They do the simple things. Kentucky fans can at least sleep easy at night. They're not okay spending $22 million on a team that doesn't even care.
Some of this is, I mean, I've watched Otego away a lot. I mean, we got a new, like, $3.5 million is pretty steep. Like, he better be better than he was last year. Like, I think he was a nice player, but I didn't watch him last year going, boy, that's your, I know he was SEC preseason player of the year, but I just for me, I was like, are they even allocating resources well? Could that be an issue here?
I'm with you. Yeah, 1,000%. There's some missed evaluations for sure. And Otego away, like, if you're going to be preseason SEC player of the year, that's all well and good. But at the same time, like, he fit perfectly beside Kobe Brea and Lamont Butler. Like, those were the unsung heroes because
yes,
those guys were willing to play defense, play hit threes without dribbling, and move the basketball. This team doesn't have that same blend of dudes. So, like, you're asking him to do a little bit more than he, quite frankly, is comfortable with. You know, he went for 17 straight points at Oklahoma last year in February by himself. Took Kentucky back in that game. They won the game. He was fantastic. But he had the space to operate because there was shooting on the floor. They have a lot of guys on this roster. It's a lot of shot takers. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of shot makers, and that makes it tough. And you spend $22 million, they need a GM because some of those guys, and I'm aware of some of their salaries, and Otego always the guy that's going to get called out the most because he's getting paid the most. But some of these freshmen are getting paid outlandish numbers for no production. So, like, there's got to be a happy medium. They need a GM because obviously they failed at finding the correct resources or allocating the correct resources accordingly. There has to be some kind of middle ground here because there's been a lot of flub, and they need to fix it.
All right, real quick, because somebody asked, tragic news last week of the passing of Eldon Campbell, a great Tiger. Did you ever interact with him? We got a texter that's asking any thoughts from you on Eldon Campbell's tragic passing last week?
I met Eldon a couple times when Wayne Buckingham held his golf tournament at the Walker Course, what, 2-3 years ago. It's not a relationship that I had to where we would talk. We had come across each other, and he's always been respectful, cordial. He's more of a quiet guy, but I think that's what Clemson fans came to love about him. He was reserved. He was to himself. He had a blue-collar approach to everything he did. And if I'm correct, and I think I am here, he had a medical emergency while he was fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And what a way to go for Eldon Campbell, who loved that, because that's what he was talking about whenever I met him at the Walker Course a couple of years ago. He was simple in what he enjoyed. He was very eloquent in how he spoke and went about his day. And he will be missed, and he is a Clemson legend for a reason. And rest in peace to that guy.
Very well said. Thanks, buddy. Can't thank you enough for joining us. I know you got a busy schedule. We'll talk again real soon, all right?
All right. Most importantly, I got a 10U game that I'm coaching.
Come on.
First game of the season. The Simpsonville Hornets are ready to go. So we're out and about, baby.
Let's go, baby. Shout to the Hornets. Tell my man Damon all to get right. some buckets tonight.
Oh, he will. He will. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it to you. That's our friend Terrence Oglesby. Great stuff there. All right. Short break. We'll come back. Lots more to discuss. Stay with us.
Parenting is hard. It's even harder if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law. What should you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Whether it's a DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, or a fake ID, Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680.
Do you hate brown or dead-looking turf in the winter? At Carolina Top Dressing, they can turn your lawn into the beautiful summer green lawn everyone loves with their turf painting service. Also, now through winter is the best time to amend your soil and establish healthy roots. Ask about the soil conditioning program to get this done. Mention you heard this ad on The Roar, and you can save 10% off any of our services. Call today, 864-999-SAND, or visit carolinatopdressing.com to get a free quote.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
If you think Taco Bell is only for late night, you are mistaken. Taco Bell's also for daytime, which is why it's introducing the new Cantina Chicken menu. With new Cantina Chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla. And new ingredients like seasoned slow-roasted chicken, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded purple cabbage, and even a new avocado verde salsa packet. It's the Taco Bell for when it's not late night.
Whoa, not just late night. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu now. At participating U.S. Taco Bell locations while supplies last. Contact store for participation with spares.
You know, everyone says that they'll start after the holidays. And that's exactly why most people never tackle weight loss. But right now with PhD Weight Loss, they're making it easier than ever to start before the new year with a bonus designed to get you going. They're adding 2 free weeks to the program. That means you can ramp up during the holidays and start the new year already working towards your goals. Those 2 free weeks, that means you won't roll into the new year feeling behind. You'll hit the month of January already losing, already feeling better, and already in control. Thanks to PhD's metabolic reset system, it teaches your body to burn the fat first, without drugs, starvation diets, or endless workouts. Just a smart, science-based system that fits real life.
And when you mention 2 weeks on the phone, the consultation fee is completely waived, as well as the cost of the food during the program. There's no reason to wait, no reason to repeat last year. Give PhD Weight Loss a call today and start 2026 ahead. At 864-644-1900, that's 864-644-1900, or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
Elevate your holiday feast and treat your guests to more than just a meal. Serve them a story of care, quality, and craftsmanship from AMPM Farms Butchery and Market. Bring the farm-to-table philosophy to every cut, sourcing premium meats from local and regional partners who share their commitment to integrity and flavor. Each selection is chosen for taste because your table deserves better than supermarket standards. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, Southern hospitality you can taste.
At Target, great memories start with great prices. Get gingerbread house kits for just $12, plus all the Wondershop baking must-haves. Gather the whole fam, grab some gingerbread kits, and start building sweet moments together. Then keep the joy rolling, baking up tasty treats with Wondershop that'll make the season a blast. Make unforgettable memories with incredible prices on gingerbread kits and Wondershop baking essentials. And step into the holidays, only at Target. Restrictions apply.
FIFA World Cup 2026 is coming soon, but your opportunity to be there starts now through an exclusive offer with an eligible Bank of America Visa credit card. For a limited time, become a new customized cash rewards or unlimited cash rewards Visa credit card holder, and you will be eligible for a chance to purchase FIFA World Cup 2026 tickets. Learn more at bofa.com/cardfwc26. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be the official bank of FIFA World Cup 2026. Bank of America NA in partnership with Visa. Terms apply. Rewards reserved.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are the Roar.
More to say on the Clemson-BYU game, obviously, coming up tonight. It's a massive, massive opportunity for the Tigers. We'll get to that. Plus, I have some Kendall Briles thoughts to get in today.
So do TCU fans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe some Baylor fans, too. I don't know. Keith Adams Jr., we haven't talked about that. So if you want to get in on any of that stuff, you can. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Before we get to the phones, let me tell you about Sunrise by Empire Homes. This is a great, great community. You can find out more at EmpireHomesUpstate.com. This is minutes from downtown Clemson, minutes from downtown Pendleton, minutes from I-85, just seconds from Pendleton High School. This is a great community. 1,800 to 3,400 square foot floor plans. So you got a wide range of options to choose from, one to two stories. And you've got a wide array of customization options in their 3,900 square foot design studio where you can go in there and pick out everything. That was one of my favorite processes. I was actually telling my wife the other day when we built our home in around the border, Central Clemson. One of the things that we said that we loved was going into the design studio and doing that. They have a great design studio. This is a family-owned builder, 30-plus years in the industry, and a great location. If you want to relocate, you want a rental property, an investment, weekend home, things like that, Sunrise by Empire Homes is your ticket. Again, chat with a sales rep, schedule a tour at EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Let's go to George, who's up with us next on the phone. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, George?
Hey guys, hope y'all are doing well.
Yes, sir.
I was just calling to talk about the BYU game tonight.
All right.
I haven't been able to watch Clemson as much as I want to this year, but I was able to watch the Alabama game, and needless to say, I saw a terrible half and then a great half. So what do you think our team will look like against the number 9 or 10 team in the nation, and what are our win cons tonight, you think?
It's a great question, George. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I think this will be a very competitive game. I do. Now, in terms of individual talent, again, A.J. DeBansa is the potential number one pick in the NBA draft this year. He's 6'9". He is incredibly skilled. Crumble Cookies has got him at BYU. So he and Kalani Sitake have that in common. But BYU is not just that. I mean, this is a really good basketball team, really good program. Kevin Young got to the Sweet 16 last year. Mark Pope left. He was in the tournament as a sixth seed in 2024. So there's that. This is their best team on paper in a long, long time at BYU. Long, long time. They have skill. They have length. They have athleticism. They play fast, but not overly fast. Like, they're kind of middle of the road in terms. Like, they're not like Alabama. They want to shoot in 8 seconds or under. But it is very pro style. If you watch them, you can tell that Kevin Young, Terrence told you in the last segment, that he is he's from the Phoenix Suns. He's got that pro background. And so the individual talents on this team are allowed to sort of do what they do. And that involves DeBansa. That involves Richie Saunders, who, again, is a 6'5 wing. Very, very skilled. Does a lot of dirty work. Is incredibly efficient with the ball. Doesn't turn it over. And shoots it great from three. He's crafty around the rim too, has a good mid-range game. Like, he is a bucket now. He does a really, really good job, and they run stuff for him. Robert Wright is another one, starter at point guard, similar deal. Knows how to get to his spots, shoots 42% from three. It's just a common refrain from this team. The right shooters are shooting the basketball. Kennard Davis has played five off the bench. He's 12 for 25 from three. And this is a guy who missed three games, including their UConn loss. But he's come back the last three games, and he's a combined 8 for 17 from three in those three games. So this is a team, again, DeBansa gets downhill. Got Kiba Keita, who is a really good big, great rebounder, blocks shots, gets his hands into passing lanes. He's a 66% shooter from the floor and 68% from the foul line. Like, this is a really good team. Now, I will also tell you that this is a banged-up team. They've had a couple of guys go out. Dawson Baker, who is a guy that he's a sixth-year player that actually started his college career at UC Irvine in 2021. He is out, so that's something to monitor there. Dominique Diamande has got hurt against Dayton, I believe. Did not play against Cal Baptist, so something to watch there. It may be a smaller bench, and that's where I think Clemson has a really good chance tonight to be able to wear BYU down a little bit with their bench and with the way that they guard the ball, if they can make shots. You saw when Clemson wasn't just clanking every shot that their defense responded in kind against Alabama. When Clemson was missing shots, again, the tagging concepts of full-court defense, there's only so much you can do when Alabama is grabbing the ball off the rim and trying to go. You can slow them for a moment, but they still are able to play in quasi-transition. It is difficult to do that when they're grabbing the ball out of the net. And so for Clemson, I think defensively, their best way to play good defense, ironically, is to make more shots than they did early against Alabama, and that will allow them to set their defense up to be able to communicate well on that end of the floor and not have to scramble as much against what I would consider to be probably a better talented starting five for BYU than what Clemson's going to take to the game.
Well, I don't think Clemson can go behind the same way they did against Alabama and get back into this game. There is a pretty stark difference defensive efficiency-wise between these two teams. I believe Alabama's somewhere near 50th, BYU in the top 20. You mentioned the depth possibly being something Clemson can exploit a little bit. The issue is not that, it's that they're the five-man lineup that BYU can throw out there all the time with Kennard Davis, DeBonsa, Rob Wright, Richie Saunders, who's a top insert number player in the country. He's one of them. And Kaba Keita is one of the most efficient five-man units in the entirety of college basketball. This is a top 5-6 team in the country.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the best team Clemson's probably going to see all year in the non-con for sure. This is a tough task. I think they can hang in this game. I kind of agree with T.O. where if they keep this one under and keep this game where it needs to be, lower scoring, slow it down a little bit, keep BYU from getting ahead by 7 or 8 points or more, Clemson's got a pretty good shot here. But very efficient starting five here, very efficient best five-man unit for BYU. They score a lot of points. They're pretty solid defensively. This is a firmly top-tier national championship contender. And you and I were talking about it during the break. What an incredible resource it is for this program, for Clemson, to see a team like this and to see Alabama and to get into a four-team tournament or a four-team conglomeration of teams that has Florida, UConn, BYU, Clemson. What a great place to be. And it should be a good game. They've got a great opportunity tonight on a national scale to make an impact. One text I did see that I thought was interesting, Kwok. We've seen this team struggle to shoot at times over the past few seasons in different non-college gyms. Will being an MSG cause them any problems here, or will it be fine since it's an NBA gym?
Yeah, I think the way to win this game in two different ways is to attack the rim more so. If you get some open looks, you take them. But settling for threes is not the way to beat this team. Number one, I think BYU's guards, particularly DeBonsa, but across the board, are going to be better at getting to their spots and at 15 feet and in range than Clemson's guards have been so far this year. I think one of the things that helped against Alabama when they weren't making threes is that Clemson took what Alabama's defense was going to give them, which is the mid-range game. Dylan Hunter, RJ Godfrey, they were taking advantage of some of those things, and I thought it was to their benefit that they were able to do that. I think Clemson's ability to get into the mid-range and then break you down, post-to-post passing is going to be important in this game for Clemson. Being able to find the open man, short roll. I think Nick Davidson, the face-up game, and his ability to finish in that 8-12-foot range is going to be big. And then the final piece is, if you have a depth advantage, the best way to exploit it is to get the opponent in foul trouble. Again, this is not a team that is as deep as even Alabama. This is not as deep a team as probably even Georgetown. This is a team that has a great starting five, but is really only trying to go probably 7 or 8 deep max in this game. They're going to put a lot on their starting five. If you can get one or more starters in foul trouble because of your relentless attack in the glass, it's going to do one of two things. You're either going to play BYU into timidity on defense, where you're going to be able to make more shots because they're going to let you, because they're going to have to, or two, you're going to make those backups shoulder more of the load, which, again, is how Clemson's able to exploit a depth advantage that it has. Does not have the top-flight players that BYU has there, but does have the depth advantage in this game. Let's go to Jason in Columbia, who's up with us next before we hit our next break. What's up, Jason?
Hey, I'm definitely looking forward to the game tonight. Hey, real quick on President Clements, it's a little strange as far as the timing. I mean, I feel like most presidents, you know, give a much longer notice. I know he mentioned in the email, he said, you know, at some point health and family become paramount. So I hope everything's good with him. I will certainly remember his tenure fondly. You know, we had many conversations the last decade of the good old days where we talked about how refreshing it was for Clemson to have total alignment between the programs, the AD, and the university in general. And I think Clements was front and center in that. And I just, to have a vocal proponent of the athletics during his time here was so important for Dabo and the other sports as well, what Coach Brownell's been able to do. So hope everything is well there. And then real quick on Kendall Briles. I'm sorry, Claude. I think Briles and his whole family are scumbags. I don't think they should be anywhere near college football. And you're bringing that kind of karma to crying Shane and the chicken curse. I mean, this has got the makings of an all-time flame out. And I can understand why anybody with just a modicum of morals or decorum would be happy to see that guy leave town, which it seems like most of the TCU fans are.
You know, Jason, we're going to bring that up. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Listen. If you're a Gamecock fan excited about Kendall Briles, I'm going to tell you why you should be, and I'm going to tell you why I'm not as excited about Kendall Briles at South Carolina. We'll discuss that on the other side. Final segment of the program. Mike and Anderson, we're coming right to you next.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's best jewelry store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's best jewelry store, 11 years in a row. Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
Part A, Part B, Supplement, Advantage, Part D. It's enough to make your head spin. Don't worry, we've got you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
You can count on Ace Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air for HVAC repairs, installations, replacements, and maintenance. Their certified technicians deliver fast, honest diagnostics with the latest tools to solve the real problem, not just some quick patch job. They will give you upfront pricing and a one-year labor guarantee. If that's not enough, they offer flexible financing, first-time customer specials, and discounts for veterans and seniors. Proudly serving the upstate in the bold white and blue trucks, visit acehomeco.com today.
Did you know you can get paid to increase your home's comfort and efficiency? Contact Koala Insulation to see how to increase comfort and lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Right now, you can also get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. The tax credits give homeowners 30% back in tax credits from their insulation upgrade, up to $1,200. But these tax incentives are expiring at the end of 2025 and will not return. Call Koala Insulation of Greenville at 864-867-1779 today to learn more.
A car accident can change everything in seconds. Don't let the insurance companies decide what your case is worth. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we stand up for accident victims, fighting for the compensation you need to recover and move forward. Call Smith Jordan Law Firm today at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Your consultation is free. Smith Jordan Law. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Industrial Motor Service keeps production lines moving. Just ask Champion Aerospace.
It's always a pleasure talking with the staff at IMS. Every interaction is professional and courteous. They've helped us through many emergency situations. Always quick to respond for pickup, repair, and delivery.
For reliable service, expert repair, and a team that's there when you need them the most, trust Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com. Industrial Motor Service. Trusted, tested, dependable.
Honor your graduates' achievements with a keepsake that truly stands out. Collegiate Legacy Designs offers handcrafted and hand-finished, fully licensed ring plaques for Clemson University and the Citadel, made by proud Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie. With unanimous five-star reviews and lots of repeat customers, these plaques make the perfect gift for Christmas, recent graduates, or upcoming graduates. Get your order in today at CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com. That's CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com.
For Christmas, treat her to a special day of relaxation and rejuvenation at Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's best spa 13 years in a row. The Lilia Day Spa staff can restore her mind, body, and spirit in a relaxing and private environment. Select from the one-day or many holiday packages. Lilia Day Spa can create something special for her. A gift certificate is ideal for Christmas and shows her you care. 116 Benson Street, downtown Anderson. Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa 13 years in a row.
The Upstate's home for sports talk.
It entertains me. I enjoy listening on the way home.
105.5 and 97.5 FM. We are the Roar.
Say my share of broken halos, folded wings that used to fly. They've all gone wherever they
Final go. Segment of the program. Thanks for joining us here on the program. Let me tell you about Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. Ingles is a great spot for you to take advantage of all kinds of great deals. We're talking about a tremendous, tremendous array and assortment of value when it comes to the produce, locally sourced, locally grown. When it comes to the deli with the boar's head meats and cheeses and all that stuff. When it comes to the bakery, when it comes to the floral department, when it comes to the pharmacy, when it comes to the Starbucks, when it comes to all of the packaged goods and the Laura Lynn products. There's just nobody that's going to give you the full array of selections and the value that you're going to get at Ingles. I got to go to Ingles today. I have a little program. Speaking of programs, my kid has a program, so I'm going to leave here and go watch that. And then I got to go to Ingles for a couple things. I'm excited to do that because today's the last day to take advantage of the deals that have been there for the last week, and there are some things I haven't hit up yet. Ingles, low prices, love the savings. Use that Ingles Advantage card, fill up your gas tank. You'll be glad you did that. Texter said this. Before we go to Mike, let me say this. Jason would be kissing Kendall's A if he were coming to Clemson. You know, maybe. We started this show talking about how the ACC did exactly what they have to do with Miami and Notre Dame, and if the shoe was on the other foot, the ACC wouldn't have said bupkis about the result of that game. You have a business interest. As a fan, you have a responsibility to argue exactly for what it is that will benefit you. Now, let me just say that objectively, here are my thoughts on Kendall Briles, and we may have to get into some of this tomorrow. Kendall Briles is the best offensive coordinator hire that Shane Beamer has made to date. He looks like the best hire on paper that Shane Beamer has made to date. Kendall Briles is also not a good offensive coordinator hire. And those things can both be true. Let's go to Mike and Anderson, who's up with us next on the phone. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Mike?
Not much, Clark. Just enjoying the show. I hate to follow Jason's calls. I've been listening to this station for about 26 years, I think, and Jason's one of the better callers I've ever heard.
Hats
off to that young man. He's a good caller. Very quickly, and I checked in late today, and if you've covered this, I apologize for bringing it up again. Walt Deptula made a brilliant point yesterday, and he was just discussing it briefly. He was talking about the Notre Dame opting out of the bowl situation, blah, blah, blah. And he made the comment that that was a knee-jerk reaction. Probably the players had a lot to do with it. And probably in the next day or two, or at least the next week or two, they will probably regret the decision they made. Now, in line with that, it's, what is it, Kansas State and Iowa State, they have opted out of the bowl also?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and I know they both just lost their coaches, blah, blah, blah. But as a guy who you call women's basketball, you're around younger adults, athletes, blah, 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 and I'm not saying women's basketball is equal to college football, but I am using them as an example. I think the Kansas State and Iowa State thing, was that I've read that it was a player's decision, but I don't buy that. I think it was an administrative decision, and I don't understand why they would do that. And B, I know we're in a different era with NIL and the transfer portal, but I just got a hard time believing that most of these young men on the football team, having put so much into it, and it's a year-round job now, let's be honest, I got a hard time believing that the majority of those players would not want to play in a bowl game and finish the season out, finish their career out. And I wondered what your thoughts and Sam's thoughts were on that, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. I will say, in the case of Kansas State, Gene Taylor, the athletic director, in his statement, he said, "I decided." So in that case, either he is just taking all the blame for what the players decided, or he is saying, because, I mean, it makes sense logically when he says, "I didn't feel that we could put a team on the field that best represented Kansas State." And so they pay $500,000 fine, which, by the way, is one of the responsibilities of being in a conference, that Notre Dame wants all the benefits of being in a conference without the responsibilities. One of the responsibilities of being in a conference is if you can go to a bowl, you should, and if you don't, there are consequences. So Kansas State chooses to opt out of a bowl game. They are fined $500,000 as a school. I don't know if there is a similar statement for Iowa State. I'm not certain about that. To me, those are two different situations because you have coaching transition. Now, if it's me, I think they should play. I think all of these programs should play in their bowl games. Like I said, there has never been an athlete that regretted playing more games. I've never heard anyone say, "I regret the game I played in." You hear countless athletes say, "I wish I had more time." I actually think it is irresponsible. The way Notre Dame did this, I actually think it's irresponsible to put young people in a room like 30 minutes after their heart was just ripped out and stomped on and say, "What do you think we should logically do next?" Like, I think that's crazy. If you're a parent of a young person, you know that that's crazy. Like, the fact that Kansas State, that the athletic director said, "I'll do it," like, you have a fully formed prefrontal cortex. I mean, these people still have developing brains. They're going to be emotional, especially if the AD is flipping out, gone full Bavacqua on everybody. The coaching staff's gone full Bavacqua. They've all gone full Bavacqua. So you know that the players are. You're putting that to a vote of players like 30 minutes after they thought they would get in the playoff, and they're not. Of course they're going to say no. But that's not in their best interest long term. And it might not be the decision that they make the next day. I'm 100% believing that. I'm 100% believing that there are players that voted not to play Sunday that eventually, either today or next week or next month or next year or in 10 years, will say, "I wish I had played that bowl game." And I think sometimes, as parents, sometimes as administrators who have authority over young people, sometimes we can't let them make harmful decisions for themselves. That's one of the things in this area of autonomy for athletes that I think we have just fooled ourselves into thinking, well, they get paid now, so they're just gonna have to sink or swim. There's still a responsibility to leadership there to help guide people along the paths of life, to help provide a good example for people. And I don't think putting that to our players decided is weak sauce from highly paid adult leadership.
I stand on the same level here that I was at yesterday, where it felt incredibly impulsive because it happened so quickly afterwards the announcement comes out that they're not playing in a bowl game. There is no way, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe this is a unanimous decision from every senior on that team, there is no way every single senior on that team didn't want to play in a bowl game.
Right.
Four or five of them are going to go to the NFL. Four or five players, five, six, seven, eight players from each class are going to go to the NFL for Notre Dame. It's a talented football team. That leaves like 15 to 20 that aren't, and that are going to be accountants in a year. Like, tax attorneys, like all of these things, that they're not going to be playing football anymore. This is it. They're not, I guarantee all of them are not on the same side of things here. And you're absolutely right saying that this decision was made impulsively when your brain is not exactly thinking at the same speed that it usually would be, where you can sit back and say, okay, wait a minute, this happened, yada, yada, yada. We want to play this game anyway because we have one last shot at it. They made that decision way too quickly. Maybe a week later when Pete Bavakwa shuts up and stops talking, they might change their minds and say, you know what? There's a lot of players on this team that aren't going to be here next year that want to play one more game, whether that be graduation, draft, seniors, transfer portal, whatever. They're not going to want to go out with a very sour taste in their mouth like they are right now. It may be the freaking Pop-Tart Bowl against Brent Key and Georgia Tech. It's one more game. It's one more opportunity to win. It's one more opportunity to play with your team. I don't believe that it was unanimous, and I believe that was a lie.
Oh, I think one of the most hilarious things, all the Notre Dame people are like, oh, man, Marcus Freeman is going to be scorched earth. I'm like, really? He could have done it in 3 weeks. They could have. If they, oh, you have never been ready for how bad we're going to be Purdue next year. It's like, what? Sorry, Sam. I didn't mean to throw you astray there.
Yeah, congrats.
Oh, man, we are going to so murder Navy next year. Like, what?
Scorched
what are you
earth,
talking about?
Scorched
if you're
earth.
Really mad, go and beat the living crap out of BYU. Go and prove it against BYU. If that's what, oh man, this team's going to be seeing red from January to, well, what about December? What about December? Oh man, starting January 1, we are really going to crank it. Well, what's stopping you from doing it right now? Like you said, there are going to be people, and the AD said it's just disappointing. It's disappointing that the last game of our season was at Stanford. You idiot!
I have great news.
You had a choice.
I
you could have played one more game. If you're really that disappointed, then play in the stupid game. Play in the stupid game. Oh, it's so disappointing. Like it happened. Oh, I'm so sad that happened to us. It did not happen to you. You did it to yourself. You decided. You let a bunch of teenagers decide. 30 minutes after their heart got ripped out. It's like asking a teenager, hey, your girlfriend that you've dated for a year broke up with you. Would you like to eat some broccoli? Like, no, absolutely not. Give me a pint of friggin' ice cream. No, I'm not doing that because I'm a friggin' teenager. Yeah, it is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that Notre Dame, they let all the 18-year-olds decide and all the adults are like, well, I can't believe this happened to us. Like, they have no agency in it whatsoever. Again, just one of the 40 ways that I think Notre Dame is just totally and completely botch this. Just completely botch this. And people listen at different times. I did mention the full Bavakwa. Full Bavakwa is when an adult leader, an alleged adult leader, goes completely ape and loses his mind and loses all sense of rational thought because he's so angry at a thing that he caused, helped cause, or could have impacted. That's what a full Bavakwa is.
Better watch out for that Notre Dame warpath next year, Stanford and Purdue.
We're going to make this
we're
a thing.
We're coming for you.
Oh, man. We're going to make this a thing,
they're
gonna
man. They're going to win 66-3 instead of 63-3.
I also think it's hilarious, and two different people have brought up that I need to segue into a Phoenix Center read after this with decision-making for young people. We'll keep that in the back pocket, folks. That's really, really good. That's really good. A couple more things, all right? I do think it's hilarious that all the Notre Dame people are like, put some respect on our name. Like, all the people in my mentions are like, you better believe that Notre Dame, if Notre Dame left the ACC that they're not even in, this whole thing would crumble. And also, in the next breath, somebody's like, please treat us like Kansas State and Iowa State and all the 5-7 teams. Hey, guys, we weren't the only one that opted out. Look at Kansas State. Like, what? Either you're a lead or you're not there, bucko. Either you're a lead or you're not. Well, I mean, well, Iowa State did it. Yeah, well, I mean, if you're as elite as you say, and you could With a snap of your finger, you could dissolve the ACC just like that, then we're probably going to hold you to a little bit of a higher standard in Kansas State and Iowa State, who lost their coaches when it comes to who is opting out of bowl games.
I was going to say, at least they have the excuse of we have no coaching staff, where there have been plenty of teams that have lost their coaches, gone to a bowl game with half the starters out, all the coaches gone, and then they'd lose like 63-2. At least Iowa State could say, we didn't want to deal with that crap. There's no Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman's not going anywhere forever. Like, these excuses don't exist. Take your ball and go home is what Notre Dame did. If you don't get your way, take your ball and go home.
Texter asked, can you finish the Browse statement? I'll say this. We don't have time. We don't have time to get into it, okay? Kendall Browse did a worse job than Garrett Riley did at TCU. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, Kendall Browse hasn't done a super impressive job at any spot that he's been. That's why I think Kendall Bryles. Now, Kendall Bryles is he's a better hire than Satterfield, better hire than Loggins, and a much better hire than Shula. My gosh. That was bad on its face by Shane Beamer. This is the best hire that he's made, but this is not a particularly good hire. You could argue that this offense peaked 5 years ago. You could argue that him as an OC, the best job that he's done in terms of yards per play in 7 years calling offense at the P4 level is 25th, which is an upgrade for South Carolina, but is it the best you can do? I've seen people argue that at TCU, that it's hard to attract talent there. Yeah, but they have more talent that can run that system than South Carolina does. I think you needed somebody that's doing more with less, not somebody who's a Nepo baby, who's running daddy's offense. And that's what you're getting. This is not an especially good hire of Kendall Bryles. Also, people are asking me to comment on President Clements. We did some comments. I think it is a risk
hour two.
Risky time for athletics. Thankful for his leadership. Didn't agree with everything he did, but I think solid and a good person to me and made my job better and my life easier. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Walt's up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.